Welcome to Disrupt. I'm Tim Mullaney with Home Healthcare News. Today we're bringing you my conversation with Kathy Thorpe, CEO of Nurse Next Door. But before we get to that, I want to give a shout out to our podcast sponsor, Homecare Homebase, whose powerful cloud-based home health software streamlines virtually every aspect of your business. Spend less time on paperwork and more time delivering quality care to the patients who need you. Visit hchb.com to learn more. Known for the bright pink cars that its caregivers drive, Nurse Next Door is based in Vancouver, British Columbia. As of 2017, Nurse Next Door had 81 franchise locations in the United States and 70 in Canada, offering private duty home care services. Kathy Thorpe joined the company as president in 2014 and became CEO 2 years later. Previously the head of Canadian operations for The Gap, Thorpe spoke with me about how her background with the retail giant has translated to her work with Nurse Next Door. And we also talked about Nurse Next Door's partnership with St. Joseph Health, a $6 billion health system in Southern California, as well as why the company's not afraid to be provocative in its advertising. Kathy, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Disrupt.
Great to be here, Tim. Thank you.
So to start out, I want to talk about your background a little bit and the road you took to becoming CEO of Nurse Next Door. So you went to the University of Alberta, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
Great. And what did you study there?
It was an arts degree. At that point, I was unclear on the direction and path and so decided on an arts degree and majored in psychology with a minor in history.
Got it. So as you were sort of coming out of school, what were you thinking of in terms of a career path?
Well, while I was in university, I had started in retail as a sales associate and found myself over at The Gap during the end of my university years and really fell in love with the experience of working on the retail shop floor.
So you were at The Gap, I believe this was 1992, and
yeah.
It looks like you just sort of rose through the ranks at The Gap, and by 2003, you were the country lead for all of the company's Canadian stores and operations. So that's an impressive rise, and how did you do that?
Yeah, well, like I'd said, I fell in love with retail. You know, they say you get it in your blood and it stays with you. You know, it was the experience of being with the customer, working with the customer on the shop floor, and then, you know, having the opportunity to go into the management program. We always say that working at The Gap and going into the management development program is like getting your master's and really the opportunity to learn about how to lead people, systems, process, and all of those things that can really take you into different aspects of business. And I loved it. And I spent the years just, you know, going from the sales associate, spending 3 years in Germany running the German organization, finding myself back in Canada and running the Canadian organization, and loved every moment of it.
That's really cool. So talk about maybe the next stage of your career then. If my dates are right, I think you left The Gap in 2005 mm-hmm. and then joined Nurse Next Door originally in 2014. So
yeah.
Can you talk through those maybe intervening years?
Yeah. I had two kids during that time and also find myself over at a Canadian children's organization. And I was the president there for 3 years. And then after that, decided with young kids that I wanted to go into consulting. And I consulted small and mid-sized companies for a few years. And as a family, we actually ended up back in Germany during that time. And it was during the time of being back in Germany that I got the call from John DeHart, who I had known for a number of years. And he had said, you know what, we're looking for a president of Nurse Next Door. Would you be interested in it? And I jumped at the chance and we moved back.
And were you familiar with Nurse Next Door already at that point? Can you talk about what attracted you to saying yes to that opportunity?
Yeah. So I was actually the daughter. My mom was going through a very serious operation, and I found myself out in Edmonton, sitting in the waiting room with my dad, and literally looked beside me, and there was the pink pamphlet. And I knew of Nurse Next Door in Vancouver because of the cars, saw them driving around. I really didn't know what the company did, But I just put that pamphlet in my bag and said, you know what? I don't know if we're going to know what to do. Let's see. And it was about 3 days later that I called up Kelly, who was the franchise partner out in St. Albert, and just said we needed help. And Kelly came out and, you know, she opened the door to, and after that, she just took over. And it brought peace of mind to me, the rest of my family, and most of all, my mom and dad. And the experience stuck with me. And then it was about 3 months later that I was connected to John DeHart. And, you know, we spent the next almost five years getting to know each other. And I got to know the passion and commitment behind his reasons for Nurse Next Door and the values behind Nurse Next Door. And just, yeah, we used to, our kids are the same age. So we would literally go to the playground, the kids would play, and we would just talk about the company and just the experience that I'd had and just John and Gayla and what they really wanted to create and build with Nurse Next Door.
Right. So then you joined as president in 2014. I believe you became CEO in 2016. Can you just talk through maybe what some of your main areas of focus were in those first few years? Was it the expansion into the United States?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when I first started, it was very much an entrepreneurially run organization. John and Ken were serial entrepreneurs. And when I started, it was really looking and saying, you know, do we have the systems and process that are able to scale and help us grow? I always say, you know, when I started, we used to have 80 versions of what a good job looks like, because every franchise partner had a different version of, you know, how scheduling should be done, or, you know, all of those different pieces of the system that you need to build out. It really was not one best way. And when I started, I knew that we needed to build out that one best way. During my time with the Gap, that's what you learn. How do you have a system and process that allows people to really understand what a great job looks like and how to build on it and how to build and scale a business? So, you know, you can get into the specifics of each area, but at a bigger level, it was really about taking the business from that entrepreneurial mindset to the operational excellence and really systems and process that we needed to be able to scale.
Got it. And can you maybe, I imagine one sort of challenge that you must have encountered is that if I'm an entrepreneurial minded person who owns my own franchise business, mm-hmm. and has, you know, what in my mind is the best way to do things and has driven my success. Mm-hmm. Now, if there's a new president coming in and saying, oh, we want to systematize things, we want to change things, do it this way, this is what a good job looks like. Did you experience any pushback from the franchise level, or what was your approach in order to keep everyone sort of on board?
Yeah. Well, you know, you can approach it that you're going to go and change things without building relationships, or you can build the relationships first. And I spent a lot of time that first year being out, meeting franchise partners, talking to franchise partners, hearing from them where things were at, and then really starting that conversation. So we didn't come in and change things immediately. It was really through the process of building those relationships and trust that we were able to get to a place where we all did it together.
And you mentioned how some of your experience at the Gap in building up systems translated mm-hmm. into your role at the Nurse Next Door. Just wondering if you can speak more generally. I think it's interesting that you have that deep retail experience. I don't think it's something we see all that often. I think most people who I've talked to for this podcast have more of a healthcare background. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about both? Maybe first of all, if there's anything else that you drew on from your time at the Gap that's been really helpful in doing your job at Nurse Next Door, and then maybe talk about what the learning curve has been and some of the specifics that you've had to kind of learn on the fly as you've taken this role.
Sure. You know, when I think of the Gap and retail, it's really, we used to laugh and say there was a binder for everything, and it really was true, because there was that consistency of how things were done. No matter if you were sitting in Canada, or if you're sitting in Germany, or if you're sitting in the US, there was that approach of consistency that really allowed the brand to thrive. So, you know, I got I honed that skill. I was able to bring that into Nurse Next Door. From a retail perspective, it's your passion and commitment to the customer. You make a decision for the customer, and when you start from that place, you always make the right decision. And then I would say leadership, really learning how to develop people, and coming at it from that people development mindset. That's something that we have done a great job with it here at Nurse Next Door, of how do we take someone who, you know, starts in the care services center and then can build their career. When you have that understanding of speaking with the clients firsthand and then bringing that into different roles, you can really build a great team. And then when I look at franchising, you know, these are business owners. It's their livelihood. And it's really, how do you understand what they're going through at a deeper level? It's a completely different place than retail. In retail, that person is coming in, they're hired, they're an employee. In a franchise system, you have all of these owners that wanted to get into this business because they wanted to own a business. And how do you really allow them to continue to own it while having that consistency?
Great. And I do want to hear about some of the things you've had to learn about, but one maybe follow-up question, what you've said so far. It seems to me like your own sort of personal story, starting as a sales associate at The Gap and then going on to have so much success and rise into a leadership position there, is a good, you've sort of experienced what good professional development can do for someone. So you must bring that perspective to Nurse Next Door. Wondering if there's any, if there are any programs in place, or if you've seen anything in terms of, you know, I started as a caregiver, then I went on to own my own franchise, or are there sort of, what does professional development sort of mean or look like for Nurse Next Door?
We have so many stories, and we actually do have a couple of franchise partners that started as caregivers and they now are franchise owners. And you know, we love those stories, and we have the stories within the franchise ownership, and then we have it here at Harcourters. And, you know, I spoke to people starting out in care services, and, you know, we have people that started out in care services and now they're running HR. They're running the graphic design aspect of the company. We have story after story, because when you have that people development mindset, everyone start somewhere and then really can take ownership of how they want to build their career.
And I don't know if you can share sort of retention numbers, but I know that's a huge challenge in the industry. And it sounds like that helps with retention too, if you have that ability to help people grow in their career without having to find a new job.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say that from a retention perspective, we've retained people here at Harcourters. Our opportunity is how to take that to the caregiver world and really support making the role of caregiver a career. And that's really what foundationally we're going after here at Nurse Next Door.
And I guess just to clarify, I think you're using the phrase Harcourters. I assume that's the Nurse Next Door terminology for your corporate headquarters location?
It is. Yeah. Thank you. It's our headquarters.
And I guess there's a question there, sort of, how long has it been called Harcourters, and what does that say about the kind of identity of the company?
Yeah. John coined the term a number of years ago, and it really is meant to, you know, it is about heart. We're in a business that it's a people business. And you have to have that heart. And when you have that heart, you always make the right decision.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned the importance of being able to have caregiver retention and bring that professional development down to that level. Anything you can share in terms of specific approaches that you're thinking of or doing to try to achieve that goal?
Yeah. So our goal with our current painted picture is really shifting to the year of the caregiver. And how do we take an industry that is very much dependent upon a casual workforce and really say, you know what, caregiving needs to become a career. And how do you allow for career development in an organization and not just see it as a casual workforce that people might have two or three companies that they're working for. And it's really taking that whole mindset of the casual workforce to long-term career development employees within an organization.
And then I guess circling back to the question I had about where maybe your learning curve has been, what have you been focused on in terms of, I guess, are there specific things to home care that you've had to learn?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously a steep learning curve with home care. You know, it's really been about how do I get in there and get out to those consults, make sure that I'm meeting with people in the industry, make sure that I'm meeting with people in healthcare, and just learning about where it's at and who we are within the industry, but how are my skills continuing to develop?
Great. So I want to talk about a couple of different initiatives that you've kind of led since you came into Nurse Next Door. Mm-hmm. And to start, I guess, it's just the expansion into the United States. Is that something that I think currently you have about the same number of locations in the U.S. as in Canada? Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
And what's the sort of, where were you, where was the company when you came in? Was it really mainly in Canada at that point, or had it already started to open in a significant number of U.S. locations?
Right. Yeah. When I started, Canada was three quarters of the organization. We'd only had about 15 locations in the U.S., and it really was just in the infancy.
So can you talk through the opportunity you saw in the U.S. and what that process has been like to ramp up the presence sort of south of the border?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's about building a brand, and going from a Canadian organization and really understanding and having a part in the U.S. Landscape. And for us, it's really been about, you know, when you find the right franchisee, you build the brand the right way. So we spent a lot of time really making sure that we have those partners that are going to help us grow across the U.S. People always say, you know, how do you move into different states and how do you make the decisions of how you're going to move across the country? And for us, it really comes down to, do we have the right person? And what we're looking for is we're looking for that 50% heart and 50% business mindset, because you need to have both of those to really be able to grow an incredible brand in your community.
And you've done some interesting things, I think, in terms of building up the Nurse Next Door presence. And the one that really stands out to me is an arrangement you have with St. Joseph Health. It's a, I believe, $6 billion California-based healthcare organization. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of these facts, but I believe it was in early 2016 that this announced, the partnership was first announced. And it was for St. Joseph Health to essentially, I think, become a franchise owner of multiple Nurse Next Door locations to serve their Southern California market. So I believe it was the first time that a health system became a franchisee of a personal care company like Nurse Next Door, and it's pretty large now. I think the number I have is 44 St. Joseph / Nurse Next Door locations. So I guess, first of all, correct me if I'm wrong on any of those basic details, and then wondering if you can just take us back and provide some of the backstory on how this deal sort of came into existence, who approached who, and how did it sort of get off the ground?
Yeah, no, that's great. So we do have the 44 locations and 40 of them are operational. And it was actually the pink car. St. Joseph, someone at St. Joseph had seen the pink car driving around and they became very intrigued and they contacted us and actually were looking at wanting to buy the company. And John and Ken were very clear, you know, we're not for sale. But we said, how can we work together? Because we spent some time with them and we realized that we were very like-minded in our core values and just what we were going after in terms of wanting to help people stay at home. Their mandate was really to get into the community. How could they get out of the hospital and into the community? They did have a small home care arm. But they realize that they are a big bureaucratic machine, and being able to leverage the entrepreneurial mindset of a smaller organization like Nurse Next Door and something that sits outside of St. Joseph Health, it was able to really, you know, move and grow at a much faster pace than what it would have been able to do if it sat inside the company. So that's really the catalyst for why they did decide to become a franchise partner. And it's been an incredible journey. And, you know, we've learned together. We've really, you know, gotten to know what's the same, what's different, being a franchise owner of 44 locations versus one or two. And it's been an incredible experience.
And, you know, I think it sort of fits into a lot of trends that we report on all the time and have been over the last number of years, really coming out of the Affordable Care Act here in this country. Mm-hmm. And I think we see a lot of health systems making a push to provide more care in the home and in other low-cost settings, and to have more coordinated care between their physician group and their hospitals and their at-home and post-acute services. But it sort of stands out to me that it seems like this is such kind of an outlier that St. Joseph made such a big commitment to home care. And so I guess I'm wondering if my idea that it plays into these larger trends in U.S. healthcare is accurate, and if you expect that we might see more health systems to start to recognize, as St. Joseph has, the value that home care can bring to helping them achieve all those goals.
Yeah, I think that it's a trend that's just starting. Mm-hmm. I think that it's a worldwide trend also. Systems are realizing that, you know, people want to stay at home. It's cost effective, and it's what people are looking for. And I think we're just starting the conversations, and I think we're just starting different attempts at that. And I think St. Joseph was... They had the foresight to see where the trend is going and what they wanted to do and to be into the community. But I think it's going to happen more and more across the U.S. and we're seeing it in trends in other countries also.
And I guess this is more a question for St. Joseph, but if you can answer it, do you know if they're achieving any goals that they wanted to, that they're attributing to the Nurse Next Door presence? Are they reducing hospital readmissions or bringing down costs or improving any particular outcomes? Anything you can share on that front?
Yeah. So it's been 2 years and they are very excited about the results that they're seeing. You know, it took a while to get things going. Back when it first started, I remember we were talking about hiring caregivers. And at that time, it used to take them 2 months to onboard a caregiver, whereas now it takes them about a week. And in this industry, you know, 2 months is 2 years. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they've worked through so many of those operational issues that really allow them to move fast. And they're seeing some incredible results. And they're starting to attribute, you know, results with readmissions and working on what's really happening in the hospital and how are those results concretely creating you know, that impact that the hospital's seeing by relying on home care. So I think we're going to see a lot more in terms of actual written documentation, but I know anecdotally talking to the team that they're incredibly excited with the results that they've seen.
Right. You also brought up that you think this is a global trend to move more care into the home, and you've obviously lived in Germany. It seems like you have a pretty global worldview. Is Nurse Next Door looking at other international markets to expand into as well?
We are. We want to be a global brand. We are looking for master relationships in other countries. We will be international in the next 12 months because the trend is just... it's just getting started. The aging population is a conversation happening across the world. It's a global conversation, and it's a global issue that needs to get figured out.
Great. Any preview you can give on what countries you're looking at or what the first other international locations might be?
Yeah, we're currently looking at an opportunity in Australia and also in China.
Whoa, China. That's interesting. It's such a big market there, but also seems like that could be challenging given the language barriers and some of the cultural differences. But that seems to be a good opportunity from your perspective.
Yeah, you know, we want the right partner. So we need to find the right partner there. And then we are going to trust that partner to build out the brand. And it will be a partnership, but at the same time, we need an expert. And we know that we're not the expert in China, but when you look at just the issues that China's having with the one-child policy, and I believe it's 2020 is when all of the only children are, that's when it's going to start to peak in terms of when that one child is going to have to care for so many aging parents. It's a huge issue that China's trying to figure out, and they're putting a lot of resources and backing into trying to figure out. So we feel it's a great time to go into that market and really be part of the solution.
Right. So I want to move on and talk about a couple other things, but I guess just before we totally leave this topic behind, one maybe related issue that we've been reporting on recently is that Medicare Advantage plans here in the States, starting 2019, for the first time, might be able to offer benefits related to non-skilled in-home care. And I've talked to some other franchise companies that see this as an opportunity to maybe start to drive more Medicare Advantage revenue. But obviously, it's really sort of early stages and everyone's waiting to see what the insurers actually do. Is that sort of your position too? Or are you excited about it, but wait and see? Or do you have any insight into or ideas about what that opportunity might look like more specifically?
Yeah. So, you know, it's something that we're exploring, we're looking at. I will say that we have the advantage of knowing, you know, if you look at Canada, it's government funded. And John and Ken made the decision many years ago to stay with the private duty arm. There was obviously many opportunities over the years to go with government funded options. The challenge is our mandate and what we our differentiator here at Nurse Next Door is what we call happier aging. And happier aging is when you're going into the home and you're not just providing the physical support for a client, but also the mental and emotional support. And, you know, we always say, when you go into the home and you're doing that care and consult, can you find out that one or two things that people used to love doing that they don't do anymore and bring that into the experience? So the challenge with government funded is that it's obvious, it's often a very, you know, go in for 1 hour, get things done, and you're not building that relationship. And really the foundation of Nurse Next Door is about the relationship to that individual client and making sure that you're supporting them to bring in happier aging and being able to find that joy and happiness of getting older and just the experiences that you're going through every day. So we know it needs to work with that. We just don't know how it's going to, but we're definitely exploring it.
All right. So I want to move on and talk about the marketing and advertising approach of Nurse Next Door a little bit, because I think that's pretty interesting. And I've actually got a radio spot that you did that maybe I'll just play that and we can talk about it.
No one wants to live in a retirement facility. No one. Especially not you. Am I right? I'm Kathy Thorpe, president of Nurse Next Door. When your kids start talking about how wonderful it is to live in a retirement home, have them go to nursenextdoor.com. You can live in your own home and get all the help you need. It's less expensive and it's safe. We've got the answers to every question at 888-988-5880, nursenextdoor.com.
All right, so I think this radio spot's really interesting because you're pretty bluntly taking on retirement communities and you're speaking directly to seniors. And then I've seen another marketing video from Nurse Next Door that was an interview with a caregiver who took a client to see the Thunder Down Under strip show. So it seems fair to say that the company is not afraid to be provocative in its marketing and its advertising. Is that right, would you say? And can you sort of talk about the philosophy around that approach?
Yeah, I'm going to step back and, you know, here's a company that was founded by two men in their 20s, and then they pick pink and yellow as their brand colors. You know, they wanted to be disruptive back then, and we've maintained that sense of disruption through to today. And that's really, we know we need to be disruptive. We know that the conversation to be able to support people to stay at home has only just started. People don't know it's an option. And the way that you get people to listen is by being provocative and putting thoughts out there that people haven't heard before. So it gets the conversation going.
Great. And I think another thing we've talked about is that maybe that approach rubs some people the wrong way, but you're willing to sort of take that risk, and that's actually created some good dialogue.
Well, we know it's going to mm-hmm. rub some people the wrong way, and we are absolutely okay with that, because everyone, you know, we want people to have an opinion, and we want to have an opinion, and we want people to also be able to voice their opinion, and we want to talk about it. We want to talk about people that agree, people that don't agree, and we just want to get that conversation going.
Right. So another topic I want to talk about is technology. I think we see a lot of technology platforms and products coming into the home care space. And wondering if there are any that you're thinking of investing in or are just excited about the potential of. So I'm thinking about everything from voice technology like Alexa to robots to health sensors, data analytics, self-driving cars. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, I think from a technology standpoint, you know, by and large, I think home care has been behind in this area. And I think that, you know, with a lot of these new companies coming in, it's really had all of us sit there and say, okay, where is our technology platform at? And, you know, I know for us, it's really, it's allowed us to say, wow, we have that relationship with the client and we know that's a competitive advantage, but where is our technology? So, you know, we've made the decision over the last couple of years to really be putting a lot more into our technology platform and really making sure that, you know, we're merging technology and the relationship with the client. And I would say from, you know, the where technology opportunities are going, we've only just started. And I love where, you know, you talk about robots and, you know, artificial intelligence. And I think the merging with home care is just starting. And I think it's going to be a really exciting few years as we begin to bring some of those things more and more into the home care space.
Great. So I've got two questions left. One is going back to sort of more personal, just curious what you do for fun or how you blow off steam. I know that being a CEO is sort of more than a full-time job. So curious how you try to sort of keep your sanity.
Ah, that's a great question. So I love being a mom and I love being a wife and having fun with my family. And I spend a lot of time running and I love being outdoors. I love nature and really being able to find that balance for me is you know, I love what I do. I always say that it is an absolute pleasure being able to lead an organization like Nurse Next Door. And when you're having fun every day, you get to go home and also have fun and you're able to, you know, have all of that work together.
Great. And then just lastly, you've already used the phrase disruption to describe what Nurse Next Door is doing. And obviously we are calling this podcast Disrupt. So I'm just curious, how do you sort of think about or define disruption? And how do you see Nurse Next Door as disrupting the industry?
Yeah. You know, for me, I think disruption is when you're challenging the norm and redefining expectations. And, you know, are you really willing to say yes when everyone else is willing to say no? You know, you can't be complacent. One of our core values is find a better way. And, you know, you always have to be looking for continuous improvement and efficiency and building out something that maybe it's working today, but how do you make it better? And that's really part of our DNA. And that's really what we aspire to do when we come to work.
Great. Well, Kathy, it was a pleasure speaking with you. And thanks again for joining us.
Thanks, Tim. Have a great day.